All right. Welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. I left out the motherfucking, but here I go, adding the motherfucking Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl, Mandy V, a.k.a. Pant the Stallion, a.k.a. Dirt Bitch.
Hi, I'm Weezy. Thank you so much for listening today. Welcome back to another episode. It'll be good vibes and pretty girls if you can see us on YouTube.
You know what I mean? I'm excited because we are joined today with another guest, and I actually have been seeing so much of you lately. Just on my timeline, and I've actually reposted a few of the flyers. I know Michelle Hope has been out. Mistress Marley has been out. I have another friend. I ain't gonna say her name yet because she's gonna come on here, but I've been seeing so much going on. Guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we are joined today by SX Noir.
Yes.
She is a woman focused on sex and tech, so that's kind of what we're gonna talk about, but she's been the thought leader,
yes,
which I want to talk about what the fuck a thought leader is, yes, but she's been the thought leader in...
I thought that was us.
No, but when I listened to y'all's episode, I really was like, this is a hell of a combination.
You know what I mean?
We really are thought leaders.
I've
really
seen you.
Yes.
I can specifically remember you hosting a conversation with Liz Goldwyn and Erica Lust at The Wing.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I've seen you in other places that weren't sex-related. I feel like I've seen you somewhere.
Well, yeah, well, thought leaders are everywhere.
Like, who say that?
Model looking so, bitch.
Say that. Hoes be everywhere,
but
actually.
But to be honest, like, whenever I see, like, really, like, tall and pretty black girls, I'm like, oh, my God. Are you on TV?
Yeah, they both came up to my boobs.
Don't do that. So, mind you, we're taking the picture with SX Noir. She's like, y'all are so
why?
Little.
How
I felt
you?
Like
are
you 5'10"? Little shamed us.
I kind of did. I'm like a good 6'3 today, though, so that's okay.
But are you 5? Well, oh,
I'm normally 6 foot, but I'm always like in a good 3-inch.
The size of my niggas.
Are you a heightist?
Am I what?
Are you a heightist?
Absolutely not. I believe
really?
The height is in the heart and not in
okay,
size.
Height is in the heart. That's some bullshit.
No, I'm an emo bitch too. Like, that's...
that was real cute.
Do you get annoyed when guys like want to fuck you because you're so tall?
I would never be annoyed with someone wanting to fuck me. I would just be annoyed with how, like, the process of which they approached me to fuck
Can
me.
You but, fetishize like, a height? Because
I do. I love my, I have a Thor fetish, like, blonde hair, blue eyed, blonde, like, just blonde throughout, if you know what I mean. And just very tall. Like,
really?
Over 6'5", yeah.
Oof. Same. I'm waiting. Actually, I'm looking
and
for
I'm working
a DM.
On that in
therapy, oh, okay. Here we go. So, I got a DM while we're talking about height. Apparently, we height shame the boys a little too often on here. And I got a DM.
Really?
Let me read the DM because it's quite hilarious. And y'all let me know if he was triggered or not. But just don't be shitting on short guys, though.
He started it with butt?
This is literally how it started. And I reposted it on my Instagram. Mind you, this was at 9:51 a.m. But... just don't be shitting on short guys, though. You've kind of stopped, but I almost stopped listening the way you were always shitting on short guys as if we had no value. Personally, though, it didn't affect me, but I'm sure some niggas are very insecure about it. Still fucking love you guys. I will send you guys an email of something. I need advice in my otherwise very happy marriage.
What the fuck?
Nigga, what?
I need $10 just to read that.
Nigga, look, here we go. Talk your motherfucking shit.
You know...
literally,
I love short guys.
Do you?
I didn't say love, but I don't.
I love it.
So I will. Here's something I love more than height, and it's money. And
see?
I just feel like
see?
That package doesn't need to come. Like, sure, there's a lot of rich, tall niggas out there, but I don't watch basketball. I don't know the statistics. What I know is a lot of the richest niggas I've ever met are some of the smallest.
Yeah.
And they spend just a lot of it.
They are.
You know, the sugar daddy that I had, the one that got me that apartment and helped me invest in stocks, he was a mere 5'6", and I swear to
my
God,
Jesus.
I didn't even see it anymore.
Same size in bed, baby. That's all that matters.
No, no, no.
Understand.
Whoa.
He was 5'8". That's right.
When you're laying down, height doesn't really matter.
It just didn't. I didn't even think about it.
My nigga is 6'8". I'm 5'1". Bitch, we are not the same in bed. Oh, I can't wait to bring him to the dungeon.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, when it's in me. Now, even if it's not about the money thing, I don't really care about height too much. I mean, obviously, like, a tall guy would be great. Like, there's this thing of us feeling safe, we could say, if, like, someone's towering over us. Like, I get the appeal when you look
at
that.
I literally said that. I think there's some psychology in it. Like, I actually...
No, I think that most women feel like anyone bigger, and height is normally what it is, right? If you get a big guy...
Oh, I was just going to bring it to daddy issues. My daddy is short. I don't like that nigga, so I don't want nobody short like my daddy.
I feel like I don't like short dudes because the shortest guy I've ever dated was the most emotionally abusive. Mm. And I felt like maybe his mom told me, though. He's like, he got a Napoleon complex.
What y'all think about Tory Lanez? Duh, short nigga complex. That's what
sure.
it is.
And like, oh, that is a story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
That's a whole.
We're not going to get into that.
Y'all didn't hurt enough. Y'all niggas really tried it. We didn't hurt enough. To make this girl post her bullet wounds because she's a liar. Are you kidding? Dog, if only the nerve of people after I've been through something traumatic to fucking attack me and make me feel like I have to post my bullet wounds, that shit made me want to erase the internet. I didn't, but. I really feel like it's made us feel like we need to know every fucking thing. I had someone told me my nigga wasn't real because I didn't post him. And I was like, what? Like, it's so weird.
Right.
Or if we don't flaunt our money, we don't have any. Everybody on the internet is attractive and rich. Nobody on the internet is broke. That is what their Instagram will tell you. Well, one thing I know, if I go through some shit where y'all find out I got shot from TMZ and then I have to confirm it by posting a bullet wound, y'all are fucked up.
Trash and shit. So I wanted to get back to SX Noir. What is a thought leader?
Oh, what is a thought leader? So a thought leader is a THOT leader. and just to emphasize, because I don't really like the academia
of
world.
That whole over there. Oh.
Well, like, no, as in like the idea, like I was applying to like speak at CES next year and it was like, well, how are you a thought leader in your space? Like THOU, you know how you spell.
Right.
God, I can't even spell the real word thought. But so
it's
this idea. Right. It's like this idea that, you know, you are a futurist, you are leading conversations, and then incorporating the thought is just saying, you know, I am a Black woman, I am a thought, you know, I am that hoe over there, and I'm also in the room and I'm also leading the conversation. And so
I love it.
Yeah, a thought leader is someone who champions sex positivity, sex worker.
Oh, we definitely thought leaders.
That's very interesting because CES has been known to allow people to, so if you guys don't know what that is, it's a tech conference. It's one of the biggest in the world. It's hosted in Vegas normally. I've tried to get tickets. I guess I didn't fuck the geekiest niggas because, like, it's expensive. But one of my favorite things I've seen in CES is a alarm clock mat where you have to step on it. You have to get out of the bed to make it stop going off because we always press a button. But they do have, like, every convention. I've seen the sexiest little bitches showing shit off. They got sex toy things there. Like, so how is it that I'm too thotty to speak, but y'all got these bitches with their nipples out in Vegas?
Because was this the conference in which they removed you? I saw that
right.
You did
so this
get...
is well this is Laura DiCarlo. So Laura DiCarlo is a sex robot company
right.
that was denied basically their award because they were a sex technology, and so we found that to be very, you know, sexist and just kind of not very sex negative, and so they fought for the award and they won it, and so this year we were just hoping to bring more sex positive conversations in the
right.
technology realm, because in reality it's pretty much a white cis heterosexual dominated area, which tech and CES, which can just be inherently sex negative.
Can I be honest with you, working in tech, it was all Indian niggas. I loved the fact that every time we got into a Benson just beat his chest behind the camera every time I got into a conversation that was heavy engineering. You know what? Let's get, and I'm like, here it goes. Let's
here it goes.
Get Mr. Patel in. And every fucking time, it's like there was a white guy selling it, but the fucking brains behind it was always brown people. It was either some African niggas or Indian
it's
niggas.
It's so crazy because I had like a different experience in accounting, and it sucks. In accounting, we outsourced a lot of our work to India because they was working for way less than us. And so we sent GDS, which is like our team in India, we sent them a lot of the work because as us having a budget for the clients and what we could charge them for taxes.
Yeah.
We got a lot more work done for less with our Indian partners. So, yeah, it was a little different. We knew it kind of the same. They just did a lot of the heavy work.
They're getting paid fucking bank, dude. Like, but that's the thing that's interesting is, like, it is very white presenting. Like, you think about Silicon Valley. They did have an Indian guy in the show. But you think about Indian, you know, Silicon Valley on HBO and just, like, Mark Zuckerberg and all this shit. But the brains behind this operation ain't exactly what you think it is. It's, like, way more broad than that. And a lot of leading innovations are coming out of Africa. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on. Even what we're seeing with, like, solar power with fucking Akon and shit.
Thanks.
And so to know that you can't get my black ass up there to talk about a little sex and tech,
you know what I mean? Yeah. I love what you do, and we're gonna focus more in the horrible decision on sex and tech instead of the vanilla shit. I did want to do a quick icebreaker with you because I know you, we're gonna be kind of educational, and I know you were like, oh, I want to be a thought leader, I want to be nasty,
I want
to
be nasty,
you know what I mean? Well, I need you to share as well some of your
maybe
nasty
stories.
Maybe you can
share a good, like, whole confession.
Yeah, I would love that.
Oh my Lord.
So our icebreaker, we're gonna do this or that. Okay,
oh,
it's only three questions, but I like to know kind of where you are on this little spectrum.
Okay.
So, would you rather, and Weezy, I would like to know your answer as well, would you rather only have anal sex for a year or only have oral sex for a year?
Oh my God, I don't want either one of those. Neither.
Well, you have to pick one, bitch,
no,
this
I'll
or
masturbate.
That. Like Coke or Pepsi. Like, you gotta pick one.
Oh my God.
Only anal or only oral?
I literally hate giving oral. Do I have to give it or get it?
Either way.
You hate giving?
Yeah, I hate it.
What kind of leader are you?
Wait! Right, look.
The one that does what she wants? I fucking hate sucking dick.
Wait, why do you hate sucking dick?
I don't hate it, but I'm just like, literally, it's earned, it's a very earned thing.
And like, you know what's crazy? I feel like it's a part of every time I have sex, I gotta suck some dick. Oh, really?
Look,
y'all, she is gagging.
I can't even gag right now.
Really?
No,
so
how
do you go about telling, and so I guess I'm just going to mix this in because I wasn't expecting this. So we have another icebreaker game that is like a nice way to say it.
Oh.
What is a nice way to tell a guy you're not going to suck his dick?
I've never met anyone push me to suck their dick. I've never had anyone who was like, really, you really not going to do it? Like, I've never in my life, ever.
Oh,
like, it's the, that's good. Ever. Not never in my life. That's a little bit
Have you ever had a guy guide you down and you were like, ah!
Oh! The simple idea of that makes me want to just...
You've never had someone do that?
No.
You've never even had them... I know it's COVID, but like, just the back of the hand is a little like...
That would turn...
Not even your head, just
the back. That would turn me off so deeply. I would just...
Really?
So I would say, if anyone was like, oh, I don't want to give head, I would just be like, yeah, I'm just not super into that. That's what I would say. I'm just not into it.
When's the last time you had one in your mouth?
Oh my God, I did suck dick recently.
Oh my God,
she
all
was
right.
Like, well,
but you know what though? But that was,
I never
but,
get sick.
But you know what though? But you know what though? That was, that felt like an exception, and I felt like the person that I that happened but wasn't appreciative enough because I felt like I
He wasn't moaning loud enough.
Like,
for
he wasn't
you?
Just like appreciative of
what,
me.
What, how do you know? How do you know when a nigga is a How do you know when a nigga is appreciative of you sucking a dick?
Just, like, how they treat you, like, outside of the bedroom, you know? Like, I want you to know, like, I don't know.
You just,
girl,
right.
Let me just tell you why.
And I thought you was an emo hoe.
This may not have anything to do with you, but I think that just dick sucking is so common.
I just think it's too, it's very personal. Like, for me to put your penis into my literal mouth, like, this is my mouth.
Penis?
Like, this is my
mouth. Okay, so what about the balls and the booty hole? You licking at?
You know that's a no.
Listen, so I'm just going to be honest with you. I have a lot of learning and growing to do.
Okay, so look, we about to get into the education of tech soon, because, but you're not even sucking dick. Next question, spit or lube?
I am boring.
Spit
I'm
or lube?
Boring. Lube for sure. I love lube.
Same.
I love
same.
Spit.
I literally keep lube now by the bed, and I've gotten these new little packets. Like, me and him try all types of different lubes.
Yeah, the packets are great. And Uber
I do
lube
like,
is great.
Yes, I
like packets
lube.
Over a bottle. Too.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I won't use lube. I'm just disgusting, so I like to
I
spit.
Ain't gonna hold you.
I
had to get my nigga real quick. So I had the bottle of lube, and then I had my little Germex. Nigga grabbed the Germex. I said, sir, that's not the lube. And I was like, that is hand sanitizer, sir. We need to now, where's the towel? We need to wash your hands because, he like accidentally grabbed the hand sanitizer instead of the lube. And I was like, okay, so this may not be a good place for, but I like eating my bed and stuff like that. So I had to I literally smelled it. But no, it's because, so the lube bottle is like a pour out. And the hand sanitizer is a thing like this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. Yeah, I saw you go like that. You
that
have
reminds
to not
me
wipe
of Dr. Broner's. I use the peppermint one. Mm. Always. That's an Aesop and Dr. Yeah. Broner's. But you have to mix it with water. And I'm not saying that I don't read labels. I don't care for labels usually. However, there was an experience into where my pussy felt easy breezy, like a cool mint.
Beautiful
gum
cover girl.
For a very long time. It felt like, have you guys ever seen the Game of Thrones where the guys asshole looking mouth is like, and everything turns to ice? So I'm like wiping my and it was just with the loofah. I didn't mix the water yet because I need the bottle to be halfway till I put the water in it. And it's just only on the loofah. Okay, I put a little
See?
Bit on my
nah,
pussy
bruh.
I had to drain the fucking shower. No, I had to start a bathtub, sit there like waving and fanning my own vagina, and I'm at not my house.
Yeah,
not my okay? house. I'm at someone else's house. And I'm going, ha!
Yeah.
Ha!
If I give y'all any type of tip, ugh, dilute your shit, but also do not have hand sanitizer next to your bed if you are a lube user like myself.
I took so long trying to calm my pussy down that he thought I took a shit. That's how long I took. So he was like, damn, why are you in there so long? And I was like, nothing. I just saw a little girl time.
IBS.
Little girl time.
last one. Would you rather have a talkative sex partner or a silent sex partner?
Ooh,
talk to me.
Is that a Tory Lanez song?
Look at you. Oh, it sure is. Y'all, she out here singing Tory Lanez. Get her ass.
Get her. Talk to
Hold
me.
On, let me think of what else says talk. Hurry, think of a song with talk.
Talk that talk to me, yeah. Rihanna.
Oh, Rihanna, yes.
Oh,
bitch.
Not the way you did
Don't
it, bitch.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I was like,
talk to me.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you did the Kidz Bop version.
Yeah. This is a blonde, blue-eyed nigga that have fucked you up.
You know, it is. So
I
we
have
are,
a lot of work to
we're
do.
Gonna skip the vanilla up. Shit for this episode because I do want to get into sex work and tech and also yeah. talking sex work allies. So yeah. before we get there, we are gonna do our hors d'oeuvre.
Okay.
Hors d'oeuvre, I wanted to make it still techy.
Okay.
So I wanted to have everyone share their sex tip on safely recording your sex acts or angles, positions, or how you get away with maybe filming with your partner.
Wow. You starting?
So I have one.
Y'all know, what do you think my experience is with this based off our conversation
today? I mean,
that's
today? What I'm
this
saying.
Is the
like,
best one. I'm going to show you this.
Go ahead. You give us a tip while Weezy looks so we can hear her moan, I'm sure.
So I have some. I have some tips maybe for sex workers who are recording content for them to share on
that's
Twitter
that's
or Instagram or things like that, right? Always slap your logo on it or slap something that's identifying on it. Please don't make it so vague that it can be just shared on Reddit throughout the masses of the
Thank
world
you for that tip.
Without people knowing.
That is a good...
It's
yeah.
taking a lot of OnlyFans yeah. girl stuff.
They are.
And
boys, because that's who I be
and
watching.
And you think, you know, oh, well, I don't want to be associated just in case. But then the reality is, like, you're building a brand and you are building association with your brand. So just, like, slap.
And also, if you end up on Pornhub and you end up on Reddit and you end up on all these other blogs mm-hmm. where, unfortunately, you won't see the residual from it because people are watching it for free. If they now like the video that they come across, they can now know where to access all of your other content and you can't get money from it. So I think that that's a great tip. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And Miss
yeah.
B Nasty, if I'm not mistaken. And she's one who literally said she posts her
own
Ms.
clips
Nas-
on Pornhub.
She no, she has her logo though on everything.
No,
that she
I think
posts.
She
yeah.
has
on Twitter for
is
sure.
Is it her, or Kira Jada something? One of it's either her or another girl. I can't remember her name right now. Kira Noir maybe, but they have a Pornhub section where instead of people uploading their OnlyFans, will give you a tiny little clip and then revert you to OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Or you can pay for it through Pornhub.
Which I ain't gonna lie, they be doing that at porn. Like, y'all know I watch gay porn. And they do this shit where they give you like a minute and a half trailer. I be trying to come real fast off
me
that
too.
Minute and a half, bitch.
And I get it
but
every
then
time.
I be like,
I be like, oh, it's the highlight.
I be like, fuck, let me go to this site over here and see how much they charge.
Yeah.
I'd be like, ooh, $1 for the first month. Let me set up a reminder to get off of it after
oh,
the month.
Oh, I love a good subscriber reminder to turn off. Shit.
Yes. What is your tip?
Mine aren't sex worker tips, but I was going to talk about lighting. I noticed it was really good from this particular point because you can't see our faces. But I just really love the light I did with this one. Like... You
oh
know,
my God, that's like cinematic.
Isn't it?
She
so
really be doing the most. She be changing her shit to black and
this
white
is
and all
this. On my counter. And basically, like, You just take it right here and you like angle it.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Right? And so it was just so lovely with the light right there. And you know,
the well, did you really set that up on purpose like that?
Absolutely.
That looks so good. No face, no skylight.
Yeah. Because this is the thing, like, internet is scary, but I've been trying my best, even in my own shit, not to really use my face. And I can only use my own videos for
but
some
bitch, your
right
tattoos.
Now.
You got big tattoos like me now.
I know, so. But it's something particular about my face. Like, I get right. I got the tattoo, but like something about the face, like, I don't know. I just like, if someone really wanted to dig, sure, they could find out it's me, but the face is kind of scary. I don't know why.
So I'm like, making sure I look
but
in
my
the
face is in it with this
because
one. So
of the
all
stigma
you do,
and
you
shame
turn off the lights
sense.
And you get just a low light in the corner to make you feel a little more comfortable. And you can't really see, like, I was real bloated this day, but you can't really tell because of lighting. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's
the
a
sound was good.
Video.
Now,
I
was going to say one more as far as like on the tech side. iCloud is how people's nudes get hacked. Mm-hmm. Okay. Exchanging through iMessage, exchanging through WhatsApp. You can use encryption apps, however, Telegram is one, or just airdrop it to each other and leave it on your phone, but you should not have iCloud activated. I am at risk to lose my photos all the time, but I just don't do it, or it's on my hard drive. So this right now, I keep it in my phone just under the photos, and then you can select to edit and hide it so that it doesn't pop up when you're showing people shit.
Yeah.
And be aware that when you do airdrop, it uses your name. So if you're sharing with someone who does not know your actual name.
Oh, good tip.
Oh, good
tip. But airdropping is Bluetooth. That's why I mentioned airdrop.
Yeah, airdropping is Bluetooth.
And I would say something that I've done recently, and I shared this, I actually do enjoy recording or at least showing off on camera. And so what I do is I always make sure I use my own phone. So I don't allow anyone to record me on their devices. I don't want them to have access to anything that I have. And then if I do send it, I'll maybe share it on Snapchat for us to, like, you could watch what we did. But I have all of my videos on my phone.
That's good. I mean, unless you're, like, maybe now that you have a boyfriend, you could, like, you could share it with them. But I totally get it. Like,
yeah. Like, even when we recorded for the first time. And first off, he's a pro. That nigga had the angles. I was like, oh, nigga, we got to record more. And, yeah, I still made sure it was on my phone and not his. Still.
It's a weird thing that I think, like, makes me feel safe, too. I don't know what it is.
It makes me feel safe. Yeah.
I as much as I love and trust you, like, I get it. Like, you'll take it on your phone sometimes. But, I mean, I've been fucking my partner for a minute. You know, he's mine, so I get it. But every time I pull out my phone, I feel better. And the dumb shit about it is, if I don't like something in it, I'm going to send you what part I like.
Oh, yeah. I crop and edit and take out, especially if I don't like what I look in one angle. Are we going to go ahead and delete that?
Right.
But, I mean, to me, it's just kind of a safe haven to have it myself. But also, I've had a lot of partners where we enjoy sending each other videos of us having sex. So my fear is that you send this video to another girl you're talking to like this, and I'm someone that, you know, kind of people know. And now a random girl has a sex video of me because you like sending off your sex videos.
Yeah.
And especially because I do have, like, such prevalent tattoos, even if I don't keep my face in, if it's back shots, you see the whole tat.
That's why,
you know,
in case it leaks, you gotta make sure. The cinematography, that's really why I feel like this is a fucked up thing to say, but I'm just like, oh, I'm about to look good in any of the shit you got in your phone, because God forbid it happens to me, which to me is like, one of the most disgusting things you could do to someone is expose them in that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if it ever happens to me, niggas on Twitter are going to circulate it no matter how wrong it is. And when they do, I want them to be like, look at that beautiful O face. You know, maybe she has a little white girl in there.
See, Jesus. All right, so before we get to this week's horrible decision, I want to let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by Dipsy. Do you need a break from your inbox or the exhausting amount of social media? It's time to prioritize a little bit of me time, help you recharge, and Dipsy can help you. Now focus on something more pleasurable than whatever is on your to-do list. I know that right now, kids are back to school. You're still possibly working from home or maybe doing like a little bit of mix where you're going to work and still working remotely. So what Dipsy is, it's an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. So Imagine listening to me and Weezy talk about our sexcapades, but way sexier. Find stories about spontaneous hookups with hot strangers. We done did that. Y'all know I ain't doing that no more because I got a little toy friend. But also, they have stories about, like, trying a new toy, getting tied up, all this, like, fun stuff. So the guided sessions can help you now unlock your new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. And this year, try a new way of getting turned on with Dipsy. For our listeners, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/horrible. That is D-I-P-S-E-A stories.com/W-H-O-R-E-I-B-L-E. That's dipsystories.com/horrible. Try it now and get 30 days free. Weezy, who else is our episode brought to you by?
Today's episode is brought to you by the Red Panda Stock Club. What the fuck is that? Who cares about the name? It's the master investor, Ian. I've been talking about him for so long, y'all. I've been talking about stocks, making money. But all I know about money is from my sugar daddies. But now we got a damn professional, okay? He dedicates his life to the markets day and night. It's his only gig. This is what the fuck he does. Ain't no side shit. Ain't no weirdo who doesn't know what they're talking about, because we have a black man who is in the know about financial literacy, and he wants us all to win. Not only all of us, but specifically Horrible Decisions listeners who are going to be getting half off of his stock club. All you have to do is click the show notes. That link is going to get you half off to this stock club. Now, what do we get with this stock club? For me, I don't have time to be studying the markets. What's red, what's green, how to read a chart. I ain't got the motherfucking time. But I pay Ian to do that. He gives me the best stocks to invest in that perform in a good economy or a bad one. I don't have to do shit. Make him do it. You ain't got to learn nothing. Just buy these companies. And when you buy them, he's going to tell you when to sell, what price to get out in for your max profits, and what price to buy into a pop in stock. You don't have to worry about these charts or buying bad companies. Let Ian help you with your future. Invest your fucking paper. Ian, if you're listening, you know I'm trying to buy this crib. So these stocks better work, bruh. And they will work. I've already received this return on 15% up in my portfolio right now, and I am so happy to be a part of the Red Panda Stock Club. So join the link in the bio. I will see y'all in the stock group chat. Let's make this fucking money and get back to the show.
I'm excited now. We are going to get into now sex work and tech and being a sex worker ally. So I wanted to have you first define what you mean when it's sex and tech. So what is it? Is it AI? Is it the robots? Is it me going on OnlyFans? What part of sex and tech do you focus on? And then also, I want you as well to define the sex work in tech, like what that looks like as well.
Yeah, so I'll tackle sex tech first, and then I'll tackle sex work next, because it's like two whole different definitions. But so when you think about sex tech, it's a vertical and a horizontal axis. And so
all right, girl, we when need you to, go make horizontal, it English, though. Make it English.
I'm so making it. No, I'm gonna make like it real simple. Up and down. Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna make it real. This is by far the simplest way that I've had videos explain it, right? So the vertical way is physical and digital, right? So we all live in a physical and digital world, right? And the horizontal way, which is like, you know, left to right, is business, health, and entertainment, right? So these, and kind of arts and culture is also in that, right? So these are the different ways that it all intersects. So when we think about the digital component, of course, we can include pornography, AI, we can include telemedicine, we can include assault reporting, we can include, you know, all of these things that happen in digital space, you know, Tinder, online, you know, digital dating, social media, etc. Then the physical element, right? So this is the robots, the toys, the pillows, the ancillary products, right? The things that go along with sex. And so that's the best, quickest way to explain sex tech. So if you can imagine, it overreaches every single thing that we do comes back to sex technology. And so how it incorporates with sex workers is most commonly I incorporate the entertainment element of, like, you know, those who are navigating the upward mobility, a financial upward mobility through digital space, right? Which tends to be this entertainment aspect, right? So OnlyFans, sugar baby, sugar webcam daddy, finding modeling. Them on a webcam, etc. And so that's kind of where my activism and work came into play when I realized that intersection and how underrepresented black women were in that space.
What kind of tech background? What made you want to do tech stuff? Did you have a tech background before?
No, so I did not have a technology background, and you do not have to have a tech background to be in tech.
You don't.
Which is what we preach in Women of Sex.
People be like, what degree you got? Nothing. anything. I just know how to fucking work your Ethernet.
Well, right. And I think everyone in their own right is an expert of some form of technology.
Yeah, my nigga says it's because I'm a millennial. Yeah. You know, I had MySpace in middle school, so I was coding in fucking middle school, technically.
No bullshit, though. Like, the millennial age, you know, when I applied for the last job I got before, you know, we did this full time, I was chosen over someone who made a comment about how they had been studying tech for 5 years and blah, 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 blah. And my boss told me once we became cool, like, your background and your accolades weighed more to me than them sitting in school.
Right.
Because to me, someone who's out there in the world experiencing it with clients doing this work is different from school. And that's not to say that college, like, obviously, I think education is paramount, but there is something about that tangible experiencing it from yourself, education, which is why internships are a really big thing, too.
Yeah, like, I busted my ass on internships while I was in school, specifically because the school that I went to, when you compare it to a Fordham or a Columbia or an NYU, Lehman, which is a city university here in New York, definitely can't compare. It's a D3 school, so even
which
when
is
I play
a shame
because
if you put the same hours in,
so when you're going to these interviews and stuff like that, of course the school does make a difference. So the way that I had to add to that was studying abroad, having an internship, and working at, you know, an investment bank and the state and all of these things. Did you do any classes? And even if you didn't? No,
I didn't. I think I went to school for human sexuality. Okay. I went to school in London for a few years for psychology and human sexuality. I was always just fascinated by sex workers, by whores, by people who were just these entrepreneurs who just, they were like these superheroes, you know, who just flew underground and under the radar. But you know what
we're
I mean?
We're not really
like
under the radar, but.
But, you know.
Keep talking about
also, I think at that time, though.
But in a way, under the radar, but not, right? You have these dual identities, right? Like, you know.
We did.
Like, you know,
we did.
So you have, you're flying in the world and you have your mask on, but you're flying and you're free and you're changing the world and you're saving people and you're giving orgasms and it's great, right? And I think that for me, I went to school. I never loved school. I never really fit in academia. I always just had my own thoughts. I had my own opinions. And I always realized, you know, academia is a white supremacist institution and most likely in America.
Oh, you know, Dr. Umar right now.
You won't let the white man tell you need a receipt.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm, but exactly. Right. And so when I went to school in London, I was like, okay, this is cool. This is cute. I partied a lot, modeled, did all that fun stuff. Came back to New York and I just realized like I really loved sex workers. I loved everything about it. I love the community. I love the work they did. And I realized how unprotected they were in digital space.
Yes.
And so I stood up as an activist for sex workers, an activist and an advocate. But also just I realized there was this huge gap of lack of empathy in designing toward catering toward Black people and by POCs in digital space. And I realized
in what ways?
And, you know, in the ways that, like, if you are queer and Black, you're more likely to be shadow banned than someone who's queer and white.
Ah,
you know, in these simple ways that, you know, no algorithm is without bias. I always say no algorithm is without bias and no orgasm is without bias.
Oh, I mean,
bias.
It's the same thing all the time.
So
with
it's the
fat
same.
Girls posting pics. Yeah, flagged.
Kim Kardashian being able to post very scantily, you know, scantily nude.
Yeah.
And if someone just regular,
and if an actual sex worker
does it, you get deleted or removed or shadow banned.
Yeah, and it's kind of just like, so I just realized like all these intersections in digital space and just also just within entertainment and music, you know, y'all had on the City Girls, right? And that interview was like so amazing to me, but also just so interesting, right?
Because they weren't who they say they are.
Well,
but
essentially.
Have they ever said, and I never really thought about it until I realized that it wasn't clicking, like, do they really talk that nasty? Or do they talk about niggas and money?
They do talk about, which is why, I mean, I did want to get into, that's why the flute out, the niggas and money. As soon as we were asking the sex questions, and that's where they kind of shied away. But also, with talking to you as someone who is a sex worker advocate and you saying you don't suck dick, I guess we automatically think that if you a hoe or a whore, that you're this raunchy, nasty, disgusting
like,
being.
Like, Megan is the one who's like riding the dick and make that motherfucker wham. You know, that's
but
a different bitch.
But I think there's a lot of people in entertainment and music and just our culture, period, who are heavily influenced by sex workers, Black sex workers,
the strip
who do
club.
Not fully
Hello.
Understand the decriminalization decriminalization and the need for decriminalization within the industry.
Right.
And I think that's the part where I get frustrated, you know. It's just like, you know, because City Girls, to me, that's my fucking anthem. Like, that to me, right. Like, that's what I literally live
but
by.
But I think that the difference so, with what they said, yeah. how it's an anthem for us, is it's more celebrating being able to feel, and granted, their words don't sound like this, but real ass bitch give a fuck about a nigga. Let's do a little Urban Dictionary. Like, I can be a girl out here in the world making money, independent, doing my own shit, and don't need to worry about your motherfucking ass because yeah. I'm doing well. Like, and
but know, also, just because I make my own money, I'm independent, don't mean I can't spend yours.
Which is
but
why their not, shit is popping.
Which is
but,
what it is.
But that's that, but it's also literally just sex work rhetoric. Like, it we is, can't it ignore is. Like, it all is. Of these dynamics.
It is.
That
is, it
and
is.
That's kind of my point. And this is why I love to, you know, I have the Thought Leader podcast. I have my podcast where I intersect, I talk about the intersections of sex work, sex tech, culture, and all this shit. Because it's just like, y'all literally are talking about sex work.
That's
you have
a great
a trend,
point. And
you have
I wish
client.
We would have brought that up, but it would have
like,
went over.
You have a client. It won't, but that's my point, and that's why I'm here talking about it, why I'm yeah. fearlessly approaching it, because, you know, we had the biggest march in history for Black sex workers.
Say
sex
it.
Workers,
yes.
Period.
Here in New
you know,
York, right?
Yes.
How many people
We had about 1,000 people show up,
that,
which is the
people.
Largest, this is the largest sex work specific march that's ever happened. And
ooh,
so
congrats.
Part of a, thank you. So part of, you know, the quote that I put out to press has said, you know, Black sex workers demand the acknowledgement that we make toward contributions in technology, culture, art, feminism, fucking LGBTQI rights, you know, everything. Like, we lead the world's liberation as far as freedom, as far as, you know, just human rights, civil rights. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I like to joke, you know, I'm Malcolm SX Noir. Like, I don't fucking play. You know, I feel like there's right. no, you know, liberation comes at a fearlessness to approach real concepts, which is sex work is real. And so while I love City Girls and there's no shade to City Girls, but it's like Meg Thee Stallion, Cardi B, all of these, you know, feminist rappers like you were speaking on, they need to acknowledge and demand that the world acknowledges that sex workers, this is what we need. These are the rights that we need.
Right.
This is a political act. You
I
know?
Will say something that I did like about Cardi so. Specifically.
I think Cardi does.
Cardi definitely.
She does.
And she brings people like she, you know. She was dancing at Starlet's
and
when
Cardi's
I was when
a
I was
sex
bartending
worker.
There.
And
yes,
Cardi's a
for
sex
sure.
worker.
And spoke on it and definitely
but she
yeah.
did.
Bring
she
to
did
it.
Do a little bit of had a little horror phobia. Mm-hmm. And mind you, we've all had it on this show. I remember you were like the feet pick thing, me with the sugar daddy thing. Like, we all have had it, and I think that I want to say that we've all have had it just to emphasize and show we've had our moments and we've got to grow from them.
Right.
And I remember she used to say, "Well, I was never fucking." Like, she made a big point to tell you, some of those girls were fucking in the club. I was never fucking. But then it changed. Her tune changed. And I appreciate that it changed because over time, she was like, fuck it. We all in the same lane.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, to me, it really is. Like, I can't say, and I don't know who brought it up on our show or maybe if I heard it somewhere else, like the streetwalker versus the escort. And maybe it was Ali XX at Triple X. She was talking about how, like, streetwalkers, like, people talk shit about them and act like they're better, but it's like you still show up to someone, like y'all are still fucking. Some right, women yeah. have different access. Maybe they can't be online. Maybe they're homeless. Like, we don't fucking know, but we're still fucking for money, whether mine's a higher dollar, yours a lower dollar. Like,
I want,
which is a great point to bring up. Uh-oh. What is sex work?
Yes. Oh, look at you. So now you doing the show? You running the show
no,
now?
No, Mandy, I'm backing down.
Do
I'm
it.
I'm not doing the show.
Do the show, man.
No, but so Mandy and I, we did like this. No, we did this. We did this like discussion. Or something at NSFW.
Yes.
And Mandy is just so Mandy, and I'm just so me. And I was just like, listen, Mandy, please take charge. Like, for one, like, just I would love to not have to direct and, you know. No, it was just like a Black Lives Matter conversation or something, and like it was virtual. But Mandy was just leading, and I was like, thank
no,
like,
yeah,
you.
But
go.
You know, I was talking a little, but also no, I ended great. Up getting a little snappy because a guy had pretty much was like, well, what makes you
yeah.
even know what you're talking about or
right.
something like this? And I had to be like, sir, just so you know, like, I am actually
I am
an accountant.
That bitch,
I am
right?
that bitch. Like, and I ran it down.
Mandy
but
being
also,
Mandy.
No, I did. And yeah, so now I'm not going to take lead here because we have you on our show, but can you like kind of go into what sex work is
totally.
And what you would have said had I not been Mandy B that night?
Absolutely. So sex work, I like to talk about it in the political aspect. We like to talk about it like as the sex trade. So the sex trade embodies many things. I'm not going to get vertical or horizontal with y'all, but I'll keep it simple. So the sex trade encompasses three aspects of how someone could come into trading sex.
Okay, let's see. Let's see where I done fell.
So Okay, so it's we have circumstance, we have choice, and we have coercion. So the reason why we talk about the sex trade in this way is because it embodies the conversation of sex trafficking, which all sex workers are against sex trafficking. No sex worker wants sex trafficking. No one wants sex trafficking.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So when we talk about the sex trade and we embody the conversation of coercion, we can obviously understand all the many aspects into which coercion can play into trading sex.
Yes.
But we also can understand choice, which is what we're all fighting for. And we also can understand circumstance. And so
circumstance is the conversation I just had with Glamazon Taomi, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
Because to me, I put that as a reason. I mean, I talk about on this podcast why I was single for so long. Mm-hmm. And I bring up the fact that I was dependent financially on men. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to have a relationship with someone and still feel like I needed financial help from other people. And so it's funny because this came out. Someone responded on Twitter to the City Girls interview and was like, City Girls are hoes because they grew up in the projects. It was like, oh, but you, these sluts, talking about Weezy and I as hosts, are just sluts from the suburbs that just want to suck dick. Mm-hmm. And I responded because I did take offense to it because I feel like in the way that I was introduced to sex work, in which I did have these partners that was financially taking care of me, I feel like it was a means of survival. I used my pussy as a means of survival.
Absolutely.
And that's what kind of
this is what we've talked about. Yeah. And so I'm not going to bring up capitalist coercion because we only have a certain amount of time today.
Right.
But, you know, I will bring up circumstance. And so circumstance, you know, this is the classic trope of the stripper stripping to pay for school.
Yes.
This is the classic trope of paying, you know, doing sex work to have a source of upward mobility that the world seems palatable. So this can be through healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. But we understand under capitalism, the reason why we don't have these resources is because our government isn't meeting them. So our circumstance is brought by capitalism, right? So we can absolutely acknowledge that. We don't have healthcare. We don't have dental care.
Right.
You know, you'll turn a trick to get a root canal. I best believe you will.
Right.
So
the price of Invisalign.
You see?
Yeah.
So, you know, circumstance, choice, and coercion are absolutely all things that take place in the sex trade. And this also helps us understand how this is also criminalized as well. Mm. And the cycle of criminalization that happens within sex
trade. Y'all see how smart she is?
Yeah. So,
this
you
is
know,
why I was on a panel with her. I was sounding like this and she was sounding like this.
So we love to say sex work. But in the activism sense, and also like when you're just kind of explaining to someone who brings, well, what about trafficking? The sex trade embodies so much more of the conversation and so many ways that you can be navigating the sex
because
trade.
Generally in the sex trade with as far as it comes to trafficking the stories that we read about women dying, trans women getting murdered, things like that, it is generally from a trafficking standpoint, someone meeting someone that led them into this way and then bam, their life's at risk they're not taking. I think with choice and circumstance people are using a lot of different avenues instead of resulting to what someone told you to do. And that's how you get coerced and start being a little more unsafe when it comes to choice.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot more access we have to either, especially with choice, right? Because you're going to research that you want to do this job and try to keep yourself safe as much as you can and take a little more, like, effort into figuring out how to do this. With sex trafficking, I think that is one of the most powerless sex working options you could have.
Yeah, like, sex trafficking isn't sex work.
You know, and I also like what you do.
Sex trafficking, I'll say that.
But it is
really
awful.
No,
I'm talking about when you're booked, all of that shit, when that's on your fucking, Google someone and get a background check, you're going to see sex work, no matter if they were sex trafficked or not. Do you know how hard it is to get that shit removed? Yeah. I've been a part of many conversations. Go ahead.
No, it's just because one of the biggest violence that we have in our community is people saying that sex trafficking is sex work. Sex trafficking in no form, way, capacity is sex work. It's just
different. But what I'm saying is people are having this terrible thing follow them into their regular life.
Right. So when we talk about that. Right. So when this is a great point. Exactly. Because when we decriminalize sex work, we are fighting sex trafficking. And that's exactly what you're speaking about. So when we're decriminalizing these aspects that are follow you, like as in a record that can reduce you from getting housing, education, healthcare, et cetera.
Right.
That's the process.
Imagine a 16-year-old being caught for prostitution. It's on her record, and now I can't get a fucking job because I have to explain to you why this happened?
Well, outside of the young ages, and we know sex work to be of course like what's going on and what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. How does sex trafficking differ from being pimped Or is it the same thing? Or choosing a pimp? And this is not when you're underage. I'm talking about grown women who decide that they are going to give their money to their pimp.
Yeah, so again, there's many different reasons why you would navigate the sex trade, and we also have to understand the criminalized aspect of navigating the sex trade. So there are some who feel more safe and comfortable with someone else who can help facilitate their sex trading.
Got you.
And so obviously, you know, the concept of a pimp has a very negative connotation, which we can historically understand. So, but the idea that some people may need... Right, so...
I think it's as a woman.
Well, it's just, madam's more glorified, and there's all these different words that associate with pimp that are just historically just
pimp
negative
slap,
and black and just kind of this really just rooted in violence, really.
Right.
But the idea that someone could want someone else to help them facilitate work is not a crazy idea. The reality is that because it's so criminalized and because it's an informal aspect of labor, because it's pushed under doors, it's pushed underground, it has so much stigma and shame, people navigate it in so many different ways. And so when we talk about the sex trade, yes, coercion can be one of them, can be one reason and one aspect of how you're not trading sex.
I mean, one of the biggest examples in pop culture and is Santoya Brown, of course. Like, you know, we watched what happened to her and people feeling like, it's just crazy to me because when that documentary came out, I cannot even imagine how fucked up, like, I don't care in which way she killed him. Like, do you know how much trauma has to go for a girl that age to go home with someone and know she needs to survive? Like, there's just so much judgment when it comes to that. And she's labeled as a prostitute at fucking 15.
Yeah, you know, and this is what we talk about when we talk about, you know, I've been doing all these political actions and Black Lives Matter movement, et cetera, right? And really just standing up for sex workers in the Black Lives Matter movement, because you all forget we have to survive under capitalism. And there's so many ways that we have to, like, being trans, you know, not having, you know, employment opportunities, not having housing opportunities. This is an anti-poverty issue. Decriminalizing sex work is an anti-poverty issue.
Right.
Because we're talking about sex work, but we're also talking about all forms of informal labor and street labor. We're talking about the woman who sells churros. We're talking about the woman who's selling masks on the street. We're talking about all those people who are in vulnerable and compromisable working conditions. And this is what we're fighting against. You know, Jessica Ramos is a state senate, spoke at our sex worker liberation march. And, you know, she's the chair of labor. And this is everyone deserves to have a working, healthy working condition. Everyone deserves that. That's not a privilege. That's
a lot of your conversation, too, does go into... So I know you talk about Sesta Fosta and everything going on, but also with Kamala Harris as the on the VP ticket, you not being too fond of her. And I read into that, but also the idea, like, I kind of just want to touch on it real quick if we can before we get out, because Kamala Harris, of course, was added to the ticket. And Joe Biden has been pandering to the black vote. And now as a black woman in that chair, we do want to see her fight for us. However, there's been a lot of things that she's done that says against it. So I want to know, what are your findings and what can you educate our listeners about how she may not be pro-sex work or what
goes
against
sex workers? I'm sorry. I'm very sensitive about, like, steering anybody that listens to this show to the other side.
Oh, yeah, no.
Or risking their vote. And I'm not saying you're doing that.
Okay.
I just want to keep in mind, please vote. Please do not hold your vote. Please do not protest your vote. Literally, we have the worst person that could ever, on a global standpoint, be in office. And whereas Kamala, much like Trump or Pence, may not be for these things, we should have this conversation, but do not hold that motherfucking vote. I love the Breakfast Club. I love all of these black outlets that are educating people.
Of course.
I am absolutely not a fan of holding your vote. I don't care about anything that people are talking about, like, oh, we got to do this, T.I. included. I think it is the most irresponsible thing black people can do right now. I'm sorry, but
I agree.
We should vote for party. I mean, I don't know if you have, but I know we've talked about food stamps and things that we've used. These are things that are in our favor from the Democratic Party. Please understand, she could be a bitch, but she's going to be a better bitch than that nigga we got. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think that's an important note to make because, you know, for the people who are in my community listening, this is a devastating conversation. I think
right.
You're absolutely correct. And that's a great prefix to have this conversation because for us, it feels like I don't want to vote. And it feels devastating.
Yeah,
and I think,
well, we're,
you know,
we're pushed.
For me,
we have a fucking choice again.
We're pushed, you know, and for me, you know, I'm 24. I'm a young woman in this world.
People are
going
to be shocked from the way you speak that you're 24.
I cannot fucking believe that. I'm not even going to lie to you, bitch. Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't want to say you look old, but you sound it.
Holy shit.
I know. So I'm 24 years old, and so I remember I just had this realization. I was talking to my therapist, and I go,
oh,
you know,
so you didn't even get to vote for Obama, did you?
I did. I think that was like my first year or something. Okay. I was 18, 16. Anyway, so basically, just, I don't get distracted. So basically, you know, I was talking to my therapist about this, and, you know, I just was bringing her this devastation. I go, you know, with my politics and how radical I am, you know, and me, you know, and researching Malcolm X and reading his reading his fucking words as if I wrote them myself, as if they came out of my head and were put onto paper myself, something written in 1967. And I realized that my journey is not going to be an easy one.
Right.
It's not going to be one where I just get everything I fucking want politically. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, because my politics are radical. I'm a police abolitionist. You know, I'm a prison abolitionist. I'm all these things. And so I understand that, guess what? Life does come with a lot of compromise. And so when it comes to Kamala, you know, kumbaya, she's a woman of color. She's black. She's Asian. She's all these things, but she's a fucking cop. And I think I don't fucking trust cops. And I think that as far as the sex working community and the transgender community, she has put so much irreparable harm into those communities that it's unforgivable. But I also don't like Biden either, right? So at what point I have to take myself out of it? And it's hard to, because my activism is myself, because it's okay to have a self-interest in activism,
right?
And have a self-interest in certain political outcomes, duh. But as far as Kamala goes, you know, one thing I will just reiterate is that when she's speaking about decriminalization of sex work, she's not speaking about it in the way that we as sex workers are speaking about it. She's speaking about the Nordic model.
Okay.
And so the Nordic model is a model that is an in-demand model, which is ending the demand and prosecuting the clients. But we as activists know that if you prosecute any element of the cycle of trading sex, that you prosecute it all. And there's no scenario where you, a sex worker, coming in interaction with police means no brutality, no harassment, no, etc.
Yeah.
We know that it does, and so there's no way that you can prosecute the clients and attack them, and also just take away the actual income of these sex workers without hurting sex workers. And so I think that's just important to understand and, like, really listen to what people are saying and how they're saying it, because they may not be speaking about it the same way you're talking about it. And so when it comes to Kamala, like, I mean, great, everyone has all these high hopes for, oh, well, if we just push her, like, kumbaya. You know, I'm waiting for AOC. That's who I'm waiting for.
When we get the office back blue, I feel like AOC is our saving grace. She's the most Bernie person that we can get. She's
like, I was so wet for Bernie. Like, it's a bit much.
Bitch!
I was like, you were wet
for Bernie? Oh,
Bernie is so, and a lot of people are very, like, they think he's very controversial as far as his socialistic aspects for, like, healthcare and shit like that. Even if he couldn't make free healthcare happen in 4 years, I know he was going to start that trajectory.
Oh my God.
And I
yes.
had so much faith in this person. And it breaks my heart that politics are so ridden with, like, favors, because they fucked him over with that Hillary vote. I didn't even live in New York at the time. I watched that motherfucker, and I never, even at Obama's rally, I was only 17, and I have never seen anybody in my life have that many people come out, be so, like, enamored by this man to vote for him. And I do not believe Hillary won that fucking vote over him. They fucked him over, whatever they did, some Russia shit. I don't know what
fake
it was.
News.
Some ballot shit. I'm sure Florida had a hand in it and fucked shit up.
Hell yeah.
Florida State fucking shit up.
But
who knows?
You know, we do have some good Dems on our side who are super liberal. I don't even know if AOC would even call herself a Democrat if she didn't had to get
right.
in.
Man,
I really don't believe she. I think she just got to say it so she can be right there.
I still can't believe we ain't moved into a place where a Green Party has become like, it's one third, like, where an idea of another party can come in and take in, because there are still so many things with the Democratic Party that is aged as well. The same with the Republican. They're very liberal, but the idea that we haven't had that Green Party come in and it literally be maybe a three-way race instead of it literally being one
or
the other.
There's something called a single transferable vote. And if you guys want to look it up on YouTube, you heard it before?
Did you just look it up?
No, I had the YouTube link right here.
Okay.
It's on, I'm trying to tell you guys who it's by. It's only 11 minutes, but I want you guys to watch this YouTube, Politics in the Animal Kingdom, single transferable vote.
Right.
And basically it tells you how there's other.
You know, that's where we at.
Huh?
The jungle.
We are
bitch.
In the animal
oh,
kingdom.
We are.
No, but really. That's
we
but
really are.
Basically, it tells you
that's
like, you can have a second choice. And if we could have that, we would be able to start electing Green parties. A lot of people like Elizabeth Warren. You know what I mean? Like, someone like her could have been around. So I'm just really hoping that the world changes. And I really only have faith in AOC.
The world about to end, y'all. This pandemic's still here. And you know why?
What, bitch?
You know why?
He gonna be here.
You know why? You know why the pandemic's still here? Atlanta. That's just the answer. Motherfucking Atlanta.
My My husband, Donald Trump, will end pandemic. And everybody in Atlanta who go to clubs, smoke hookah, please stop because it's not good for country.
That's her.
That was really good.
Ivania.
Thank you very much. This black woman here, she talk about the sex. I used to do the sex. And now I don't because I have husband. And he is give me citizen. Okay. Let's
do. I guess, but yeah. We will go ahead and get out of here. I guess, well, before we go out, normally we end either with hoe mail or hoe confession. I wanted to know if you had a hoe confession or if you didn't have a hoe confession, if you could share the craziest story that you have. Yeah, it's definitely not with your mouth.
Okay.
So either the craziest sex confession or the craziest thing you've come into contact or heard of through sex and tech.
Okay, so, like, I just, like, want to talk to the girls real quick.
Yes,
I was listening to the City Girls. Listening to y'all. And everyone's like, what do we do to get a guy to fly us out? And what do we do? Like, how do I basically ask for respect? And I'm just like, why are y'all so afraid to ask for what you want? Like,
say
what
it.
Do you
okay.
have to lose by someone telling you no?
So this isn't the read, but we'll allow you to read it right
this
now.
This is not the read at all. But I just it was on my brain.
They're embarrassed.
Because it's a hoe confession. It's a hoe confession tied into a thought leader moment. And you know I just have
let's
to do it.
Let's the ladies. Let's go.
So my favorite, I've been flown out for first dates. I've been flown across the world for first dates. I've been flown to Dubai. I've been flown to Hong Kong, Tokyo, Korea. Paris, fucking
all right,
everywhere.
Just,
I was
okay?
Ubered to a taco spot.
Okay? And I just think y'all just have to be fearless. When you're going to ask a question and you think, oh my God, I'm going to fall off this cliff, just jump. Just jump and do it. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be with a man who looks a little bit strange to everybody else, but you know he's your little cutie. Don't be afraid to be with a short man. Don't be afraid. You know what I mean? Like, yes. It's so many more bags to secure than silly ego shit. Like, get the bag that is life, baby. That's my advice.
I know, that's right. And here's the thing. I'm going to add to that. Literally, when it comes to either getting flown out, getting a bill paid, getting whatever.
Flew out.
In any, as far as asking for something in bed. Literally, this is how I trained myself to just ask all these niggas for the most extravagant fucking shit in my bills and everything else. Train yourself. Come on, ladies. This is what you do. Close your eyes. You ready?
Okay.
And you need to repeat. The worst thing that can happen is he says no.
The worst thing that can happen is he says no. No, but.
Literally. Now say it now. Ladies, close your eyes. You are okay with hearing no. Like, you have to accept the word no. We love and use no as power.
Exactly.
For us in the bedroom, for us to tell us what we want and don't want from men. And so if we can find a way to just be okay with slight rejection or no, or then leading into negotiation after, well, if I can't get this, can I get this? Bartering.
Use your scale.
Literally,
skills.
You
if
know what I mean?
If y'all work just in a retail store, you've already done
it. AOC said she got her negotiation skills
from the bar.
Being a bartender.
Bartender.
Sex workers are all around you using these dynamics all around you.
Have you guys watched Selling Sunset on Netflix yet?
I was recommended.
People told me
it's like
watching
it's like $1 million listing,
because they
still
don't have material, and boy, do I have it. So it's this show where it's like in LA or whatever. It's like the biggest.
Oh my God, here we go with the accent.
Like Hollywood.
Yeah, I'd be
like,
dying.
You know, like they sell like the most money. It's like $250 million in rev a year or whatever. So anyway, they have an Israeli girl who gets on there, and you have to see the shit that she has to go through.
I'm sure.
Just to sell a fucking house.
Right. How much
shit? And it just made me think about it because of bartending.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is selling a $25 million home, and she's like showing him the pool, how it wraps around the house, and he's like, oh. Well, I want to see you in it. And she's like, okay. And
right.
Go into, I mean, and she even made a comment. It really made me uncomfortable as he kept going. It's the first episode, y'all. I just started watching it. And she goes, I have to play this game to do my job. I have a husband.
Yeah.
I'm pregnant. I have to play this game to do my job to get this done. I'm used to it. She didn't even, like, she had to brush it off and, like, was almost like a shield. She didn't even see it. And she's like, okay, we can go and discuss. And he's like, well, I want to discuss it over drinks. We can discuss it over lunch. Like, how many times do you have to skip around?
Right.
I counted 6 times within a 2-minute scene watching this guy just keep going. And it's disgusting.
But
yeah.
As persistent as men are, women, you need to be just as persistent. And if a guy is constantly telling you no, the next one will. Just know, the next one will. So.
And there's a lot of blacks are secure, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but there's emotional, financial, social. There's so many different ways that you can benefit from relationships than just getting cash money and just getting a flight. But that also requires you to know who you are. And so I think the biggest issue these people have who keep getting no's is because you don't even know what you need. You don't even know what you're asking for. So how are you going to get what you want if you don't even know what you're asking for?
And I think it that also is has fundamentally... to not be like with a... Don't send like the emoji and be cutesy about it. Yes. Be very firm.
Know what you want.
Right.
If you tell a man, you know... Anyway, let me not. Because we're limited on time.
So, SX Noir, can you let our listeners know where they can find you, where they can read... By the way, guys, when she gives you her Instagram, when you go there, click her link tree because you can see so much. I literally... feel like I did a research project on you last night. Oh. So I've loved just reading all of the things that you were a part of, your missions, what everything means, your marches, like all of it. So go ahead and share with them.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank y'all for having me on Horrible Decisions.
Yes, because you left after that panel we did, right?
Oh, I was pissed because some dude was debating between like, oh, what if she really wants it or something. Some white dude made some really asinine comments. I'm out.
But bitch.
You should have stayed because it turned.
I'm serious. No, bitch, not the ones I fuck. I'm really glad to have a black girl here that fucks white guys too, because not that my man is white, but like they be some good ones, yo, and they need to know they privileged. And shout out to my white friends because they be knowing and they do not do black sense, and I fuck with them hard. Not like that Caucasian cunt Anushka that you guys will hear about on Ashley's episode, but seriously, like the ones that I find, you gotta vet your white dude, bro.
I know how to screen.
All right, well, but I ain't about this conversation.
You know, that one white man who's not good is my husband. He's also a person of color, orange.
He's orange, for sure.
So if you like this color, you can vote for him.
So go ahead, let the people know where they can find you, ma'am.
That is too good. So I'm SX Noir, and I am the thought leader of Sex Technology. I'm also the vice president of the Women of Sex Technology. We will be opening up membership in the fall. So if you love sex and tech, come and join us.
And bitch, the fall is coming.
Yes, the fall is coming. And we are also raising funds. So if you are an investor or an angel investor, a VC fund, Women of Sex Tech, we are raising our first round. So
angel investor, that's from, what was the show on Netflix with Jason Bateman?
Ozark.
That's right. I'm an angel investor.
And then I have a podcast too that's coming out with new episodes called Good Pussy, Good Politics.
Great name.
And it is called Thought Leader Pod.
You done with GPP?
Thought Leader Pod. Check that out because I love y'all and I am the host and I bring on different thought leaders every week. Y'all will obviously have to come on.
We OG thought leaders.
And I am also the lead of Black Sex Worker Liberation. So go ahead and follow us on Twitter, Black SW March. And blacksexworkerliberation.com. We are actively accepting donations to keep up the movement for black sex worker rights. And yeah, I think that's
it. Yes, and all of this will be in the description of the episode. Be thoughtful. As you guys know, we enjoy you guys for those of you who listen to us on your streaming platforms, but also here on YouTube. Shout out to Benson. Benson been rocking with us, doing what he do. He does our clips and stuff.
You know, he does the lighting or whatever, and it's like, I love it. Because like, when I'm selling homes on Sunset.
Here you go with the bullshit. But also, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you are all caught up with Horrible Decisions, we are over on Patreon. So that's patreon.com/horrible decisions. You do have to type it all out because it's 18 plus content. And we have 3 bonus episodes every month over there. Also, if you are all caught up, go ahead on over to Period Sis. It is my solo pod where I am doing Tales of Womanhood. And literally it's everything from PCOS to breastfeeding to sexual assault to loving yourself to codependency. And so check that out. And we're going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip. Thank you, SX Noir, for motherfucking joining us.
Thank you so
much. And guys, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
So anyway, Old Bay is a fucking sweetheart. He was like, I'm going to take care of the rest for you, right? I was like, yeah, goddamn right you will. So he said, let's figure out what they offered and we'll do the rest. So I'm like, all right, maybe it's $580. No, it was not. These motherfuckers did over market value.
Of course they did.
So then I said, let me do my plea. Let me do my best. They are also Jewish. I knew from the last name. I called them. I'm like, listen, Moisha. I need you to look, you know, I want to keep this heirloom in the family. Okay. I'm not going to rent it out. That's a goddamn lie.
Wait. You want to keep the what in the family?
The heirloom, bitch.
Isn't that motherfucking a mushroom?
What?
It's a tomato. What you mean you want to keep the heirloom in the family? Heirloom is a motherfucking tomato, bitch.
I'm going to leave.
Wait, it is. No, y'all ain't going to do this. Heirloom tomatoes. Like, I know how to spell it in everything.
I need someone to help. There's a girl who's covering her face, Noemi, and we need to unmute her. Someone needs to help me because I can't do this on my own. No. I don't have the capacity today.
But wait, the way you say an heirloom.
Please don't talk to me.
No. I wouldn't, because this
not the way I said it, Mandy.
Bitch, if you said heirloom tomato. I know how to spell it and everything because I just went to the motherfucking grocery store and I watched Food Network.
Noemi, can you help us, please?
It is heirloom.
I had to mute her. Noemi, please help us.
It's something that's passed down from generation to generation within your family.
Thank you. And okay, let me unmute Mandy. Wow. So me and my tomato apartment.
I'm not gonna lie, I really thought I was about to get you on that.
This is the most nigga shit I have ever seen on this show.
I never heard heirloom talk about anything but tomatoes. All right, carry on. My bad.
So I said I wanted all that to pass down from generation to generation, right? And he says to me. Okay, so you guys know my real name now because I mentioned it. Someone said Mandy ain't wrong. She's just not right.
I was about to say that. Oh, Crystal, shut your ass up. All right, finish. I'm sorry. So, finish, Weezy. Finish.
So basically, you guys know my name is Gila because I brought it up when I did the Black Lives Matter joation. So Gila is a very Jewish name. And he's on the phone with me and he goes, Gila, listen to me. I hear you. I'm with you. I want to keep our people, you know, flourishing too. But, you know, from one to another, money's got it through and through. Money's gonna win this one. And basically was like, bitch, fuck you and our Jewish ancestry. And he wasn't on some Jewish Lives Matter shit, and he basically took the higher offer. And you know, I was kind of mad because my man gave me the 25 to fucking put on my shit. So I was a little, you know, like, wow, now you gotta have it back. Anyway,
I would have kept that, bitch.
Nah, it was like escrow.
That would have went towards the next bidding war.
Oh, we're gonna watch the fake bidding war. I'm about to do Henny. I'm about to be like, wow, they're doing it again, but this time it's 50.
Y'all ain't shit.
But you know, okay. it was rough. And anyway, I'm pissed off, but you know what? Obviously it's not the one for me, even though it was a 2-bedroom, 750 square foot with 4 closets in the Lower East Side with an elevator. Maybe it wasn't for me. I can't believe it. Also, just want to say, you know, maybe in the wintertime, people will be desperate to get out and I can gentrify a white neighborhood. Maybe.
Okay. I ain't mad, by the way. I reclaimed the host position, bitch.
As an heirloom, it's yours, huh?
I ain't gonna hold you. Like, I never had heard that outside of the Cooking Channel. So I really thought I was about to get you, but it's cool. It's cool. Fuck y'all. All of y'all who were laughing at me as well. So I have not yet gotten into the real estate aspect of things. I know you've been talking about a lot with like mortgage brokers and loans and interest rates, and I'm actually just starting now the process on this truck. But outside of that, I guess I'll update you too. The subscription box that I am doing, guys, is underway. It will be launching this month. I finalized all of my products for that. It's just exciting to have had this time, I guess.
Give a price?
Well, yes and no, because I'm waiting right now, depending on, and this is me being very transparent with y'all with my business now, but because of what's been going on with the USPS, I'm trying to figure out if I want to go through UPS or FedEx and kind of looking at the different shipping price options.
Is it FedEx cheaper?
No, USPS is the cheapest.
No, FedEx between UPS.